right, everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And here we are, TiVo. The entire crypto market is pushing higher, and there is like literally just so much going on in the markets today. We have a lot of things that we want to talk about. The ETF front is absolutely crushing it. We're seeing just record levels of trading volume, record levels of inflows. We're seeing Bitcoin options get approved. You look at this from just about any front you can. I mean, there's also this massive acquisition that happened with Stripe wanting to get in on the crypto space. And for people who aren't familiar, I mean, Stripe is a massive payment solution and payment provider, and they're used by businesses across the world. They're gigantic, and they made this more than $1 billion acquisition so that they can enter into the crypto markets. We're going to be talking about all this and a whole bunch more, because what we're seeing is that Bitcoin is recontesting the highs and altcoins are doing fantastic. So there's a lot of opportunity out there. We want to make sure that we cover everything that's going on so that all of you can be as up to date and informed as possible. And of course, talk about the impact that this could have as we head into the final quarter of this year here. So TiVo, does that get you stoked? Are you excited?
Dude, so stoked. And I'll tell you why. Because we met yesterday and went over it this morning again, our rundown of our sheet. And dude, for the first time, and it feels like forever, and we're only going to mention this once, we won't mention it again for the rest of the podcast. No politics are on the agenda, which is fascinating.
Let's go.
Two weeks from today, we'll know the outcome, and obviously that's going to have some implications, and we'll break that down and talk about it when it happens. But just an overview of what Brendan just said. The summary is there is so much excitement happening in the crypto space. There is so much excitement around Bitcoin, and we're here to talk about it. And I'm jazzed for this episode right now, because we couldn't even believe it. We had to like cut some stuff out. We just kept, you know, copy and paste in our notes and stuff that we saw during the week. So let's jump right into it, because it's definitely an action-packed crypto focus episode.
Yeah, I mean, let's kick things off with prices, all right? I mean, let's look at the charts, see how the money is being made. And I think the best way to do that is to actually take a look at what's happening over here in Bitcoin first. So we're going to show the prices, we're going to show the gains, we're going to show what's hot and what everyone should be paying attention to. And then we want to talk about the catalysts that are causing all of these moves in the background, right? These kind of big fundamental events, these news-driven events that are happening behind the scenes that are causing prices to appreciate in the way that they are. So let's take a look at Bitcoin first here, shall we? Because what we saw here over the course of really almost the last 2 weeks was Bitcoin appreciating from around 58K all the way up to around 70K. Now, this is a really big move, because what this means is that Bitcoin saw new multi-month highs. This is the highest level that we have seen Bitcoin since July of this year. And kind of the bigger picture that this paints is that Bitcoin is pivoting away from this downtrend. And we've talked about this a million times on these crypto market rundowns, saying Bitcoin has been slowly trending downwards inside of this falling channel from a high to a lower low to a lower high to a lower low, lower high, lower low, so on and so forth, right? I mean, we've been doing this for almost 6-7 months now. Well, what we've seen in the past almost 2 months is that really since August, Bitcoin pivoted from this low to a higher high, to a higher low, to a higher high. And we've started trending upwards instead of trending downwards. And this seems to be the deviation that the crypto market needs, because Bitcoin is now putting a lot of pressure into its primary resistance level of right around the low $70,000 range. And this is one that Bitcoin has tested a lot. I mean, we could just look at the charts. You don't have to be any kind of TA guru to look at this and say, hey, Bitcoin has tested the $70,000 level quite a few times this year, and it has been unable to break above it. So when we're looking at this level, we can see that Bitcoin has rejected 70K and fell down to 60K. And it's done it again and again and again, with sometimes falling even lower to maybe the $50,000 bottom end of the spectrum. So this is a massive level for Bitcoin. I think all eyes need to be watching here. And the cool thing is that, if you can't tell already, we're net bullish. We're really optimistic about where the market is. We're not saying that it's all going to be sunshine and rainbows, right? There's a lot of people out there that are saying new all-time highs by the end of this week, 100K by the end of this year. We're bullish, right? We think that the market will continue to trend upwards. But as TiVo said, it's election season. I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of choppy price action. But the big takeaway that we're looking at this with is that, hey, we are optimistic about where the space goes. If we fall a little bit further, maybe to the lower end of 60s, it's okay. The general trend here is looking up, and it looks like Bitcoin wants to recontest the all-time highs. And with this, there's a lot of other cryptos that are doing pretty good, honestly. I mean, you look at something like Solana breaking to the upside of an ascending triangle. New multi-month highs for Solana, the highest level that it has seen since July of this year as well. In recent weeks, we've talked about Sui hitting a new all-time high. We've talked about Mantra hitting another new all-time high. Now they're pulling back a little bit. You can look at BNB, which is pushing to the top of an ascending triangle. We can look at a few of these other projects. Radium, just skyrocketing here in recent weeks. Going, I mean, what was this move? I think it's up 71% in the last 2 weeks or something like that. And so there's been a lot of projects out there. You know, Aerodrome was another one, the highest level that Aerodrome has seen since April of this year when the whole crypto market was going crazy to the upside. And so altcoins are warming up. And the cool thing is, I don't think that we are even fully in max crypto season yet. I mean, Bitcoin dominance is still high, the DXY or the Dixie is still high, and the crypto markets are still looking great. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity still out there. And, you know, again, one of the big catalysts that has kind of been propelling us forward is the state of these Bitcoin ETFs. And what we've seen over here is that they have just been wildly successful. And in recent weeks, we're going to show the inflows in just a second here. But in recent weeks, we have seen them see just over $1 billion in inflow. I think now it's, you know, pushing billions of dollars in inflows over the last week or two. But this tweet puts it really, really well. And I'm going to zoom in on this just a tad bit. But it took gold and the gold ETFs 5 years to break $20 billion in inflows. Now, Bitcoin, on the other hand, was able to do this in just 10 months. Again, this makes it one of the most successful ETF launches in history, arguably the most successful ETF launch in history. And you can see over here on the chart what gold did in the first year versus what Bitcoin did in its first year of inflows. Now, granted, right, it's a little bit of a different time and place. When the gold ETFs launched, wasn't truly the market that we're in today. So it's not a perfect comparison. However, I think no matter what way you look at it, Bitcoin, again, is just outpacing all of its potential competitors. And there was an article done the other day, TiVo, that was saying, and maybe actually you can find it, but it was saying that Bitcoin is growing at a faster rate than the internet did in its early days, in its stages of adoption. Bitcoin is growing at a significantly faster rate than even the internet. So, right, I don't want to always compare apples to apples and apples to oranges, but if we look at this compared to gold and the gold ETFs, it's faster. If we look at this as comparison against the growth of the internet, it's faster there. We look at it in comparison to growth and return percent potential of the traditional markets. We say, what is the annualized return rate of Bitcoin? What is the annualized return rate of gold, NASDAQ, S&P, you name it? It still comes out on top. And the big thing that we're heating up to right now is if we actually go and look at these inflows, which is what I want to show everyone here, we have seen a ridiculous, and I mean absolutely ridiculous, amount of inflows pouring into Bitcoin here. And what you'll see on the bottom here, that there's almost no outflows, especially not last week. But even over the last month or so, very little outflows. There's one day of 283 million in outflows, but that has been dwarfed by all these days of inflows. I mean, here's a day of almost 500 million in inflows. Just recently last week, we saw a day of 550 million in inflows, 371 million, 460 million, 470 million, 273 million. Even yesterday, we saw $335 million in inflows to these Bitcoin ETFs. And what this means is that institution and retail traders alike, they are pouring money into these, which leads us to our kind of next big reason as to why this is happening. And that is because the SEC has approved options trading for Bitcoin. So my thought immediately goes here. Tebow, it's time to get levered up. Wall Street Bets has influenced us all. And things are about to get crazy. But, you know, I'm half joking, right? I'm half joking. But this is a big deal. I'm curious as to how this will be used. We'll talk about some of the more details about, you know, how this works, who has access to it, and all that in just a second. But, you know, Tebow, I've been talking, you know, plenty long enough. If you can't tell, I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to unshare your screen there, I'll pop up that Bitcoin versus internet adoption real quick.
Yeah.
So an interesting point to what you said is just looking at this chart here, pulled up there, you can see basically since, I mean, this isn't necessarily too technical of a chart, but since 2017, Bitcoin has been outpacing adoption. If you go to users, Bitcoin users versus internet users, and kind of if you look at the history of Bitcoin from when it's born, we're hitting that 2000 point. And then as everybody knows, there was the dot-com bubble per se in the tech industry in 2000-2001, but internet users skyrocketed. And then I don't have it downloaded, but what comes to mind is this an old video. I forget who was on. It was like the Today Show or some old clip. For, it was the Today Show. I have it. 1994. And it was, what is the internet anyway? And it was a panel of people on the Today Show. Maybe I'll cut a clip and put it in here.
This is that massive computer network. Mm-hmm. The one that's becoming really big now.
What do you mean that's big? How does one, what do you write to it, like mail?
No, a lot of people use it and communicate. I guess they can communicate with NBC writers and producers. Allison, can you explain what internet is?
No, she can't say anything in 10 seconds or less.
Allison will be in the studio shortly.
What does it mean?
It's a giant computer network made up of, started from...
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us what this was.
It's like a computer billboard.
It's a computer billboard, but it's nationwide, right. And it's several universities and everything all joined together.
And right.
And others can access it.
And, right.
And it's getting bigger and bigger all the time.
But as you can hear, that's just a panel on your typical morning show talking about how, you know, what is the internet? And, oh, I'm not going to use that and how silly it is. And obviously, we still have people today discuss Bitcoin like that. And later in the show, we do have a segment of people, famous investors who are obviously bullish on Bitcoin as well. So it's a lot different setup, I think, from where the internet was in 2000 versus, you know, Bitcoin's lifetime, if you compare it to that 2000 time frame for the internet. But just adds on to the complete bullish sentiment that you're talking about.
Yeah, and I find it so interesting because these are the people who are on, at that time, our version of social media. These are the people who should know what's going on. They should be the most in the loop. And even back then, they're saying, what is the internet? Why do we need to care about this? What role can this have in our society? And we're seeing a lot of similarities with the way that crypto has been perceived and even the way that it is still being perceived. We're seeing a lot more adoption, you know, at this time, at this moment. But there has been a very similar reaction to the crypto market saying, why do we need blockchain tech? What is a cryptocurrency? This seems silly. Is this magic, you know, internet money, as people like to call it? And, you know, now fast forward and you have BlackRock and Fidelity and all these big financial institutions. I was literally writing a paper the other day talking about which traditional financial institutions are interested in tokenization, which is an aspect of crypto and blockchain technology. And I was looking at JP Morgan. I was looking at BlackRock. I was looking at Bank of America, Citigroup, Charles Schwab, you name it. And there's all these massive old players who are saying, hey, we see the value in this. And that's why we got these Bitcoin ETFs in the first place. And I think this is a good way to kind of segue us back into this conversation of options, because this is the next step in the right direction. And even the SEC, who has been pretty hard against the crypto markets, is finally saying, hey, we will approve these Bitcoin options for the Bitcoin spot ETFs here in the States, but we're only going to approve a few of them. And so what we've seen is that the SEC has approved, I believe, two from Cboe and then two for the New York Stock Exchange. So the two that were approved for Cboe was Fidelity's and ARK's, or 21 shares. And then the two that were approved for the New York Stock Exchange is going to be Grayscale's Bitcoin Trust and then Bitwise's Bitcoin Trust. Now, you'll notice the big one that's left out here is BlackRock. You know, traditionally, they have been the one leading the charge in terms of trading volume and in terms of inflows. So this is really positive. It's a step in the right direction. I cannot imagine that BlackRock is far behind here. I'm sure they're going to want a piece of a pie or a piece of the pie, considering how much they have kind of dominated the ETF space to date. But this is a big deal. And TiVo, I hope you're preparing yourself, because I almost smell it. I hear it in the wind. The Wall Street Bets traders, they're coming out. They're coming out to play. Leverage is going to be made a lot more easy and accessible. I don't know. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I feel like you're in touch with what's happening. And
yeah, people get excited, and it's just memes galore of all the cigarettes and smoking and rocket launching excitement memes that we all know and love when it comes to leverage. But, as we try to educate, especially inside of our community, that, you got to know what you're doing. And, the quickest way to get wiped out is by overusing leverage if you don't know how to use it properly. I think there's two sides of the coin that I've seen on the internet, and then I'd like to toss it back to you for your opinion. So one is that excitement around it. We're going to lever up out the wazoo. We're going to, $1 million a coin. And then I think there's another side that I've seen where people say that actually the options action around these ETFs could actually lower volatility in a way where it also, the opposite end of shorting comes into play. And so you'll get a lot of money into the short side of Bitcoin, and could that void the volatility a little bit more as this becomes a more mature asset class. So I want to get your thoughts on that.
It's funny because I literally have an article pulled up that says Bitcoin volatility is expected to increase after these options ETFs. And I think that you're right. There are two sides to this argument, in that this will give just about everyone a lot more accessibility to shorting the crypto market. So there will be no more of these people like Warren Buffett and other people saying, oh, if I could short Bitcoin, I would. Well, now you can. In fact, you have been able to. Someone like him, who's a very much an accredited investor, you can short Bitcoin. And so for all these people, whether it's Peter Thiel, whether it's Warren Buffett, whether it's, fill in the blank, these people who have said, if there was an easy way to short Bitcoin, I would do it. I'd short it to zero. Well, there has been an easy way to short it. Now, there's the easiest way to short it through some of these options. Will they do it? No. You're never going to see a headline that Warren Buffett is massively shorting Bitcoin or anything like that, because they don't truly believe that. I think that they just have to argue their bags. Their bags are probably counter to Bitcoin. And anyway, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent here.
Peter Thiel's in a tough spot, because he pounds the table on shorting Bitcoin to the moon. And so now that these are out, he's somebody that should take some action. But we also have talked about him on the show before, of how I think he's great at getting kind of the clicks. He's an engagement social media guy, so I actually kind of appreciate him in that way. But he's definitely said that a lot. And so it'll be interesting to see if he discloses a short position when these are available.
Yeah, I think he's in a lose-lose. I think unless he does it at a really smart stage of the market cycle, he's going to get wrecked. And social media would absolutely rip him apart. Imagine that he starts a short position today, then we go up and we break all-time highs. He's going to get roasted on social media. We hit 70K. We hit 80K. He's getting roasted again. We hit 90K. We hit 100K on Bitcoin. He's going to be getting absolutely torn apart. Now, is it media attention? Yeah. Is it the kind that he probably wants? No, but he's used to this in previous market cycles. He kept saying, Bitcoin won't hit new highs. It's going to fall to X amount, $100, $1,000. It never happens. People screenshot it. They repost it. And who knows, right? We don't want to rant too much about it. The big kind of takeaway that we want to talk about here is that, volatility can certainly increase. Will people have the ability to short more easily? Yes. But people can also get more levered up easily. And when it comes to the crypto markets, a lot of people tend to get greedy. We see this with the way that they buy in towards the top. They get levered up in the wrong places. They want to compound those gains. They want to make it faster. So I like this as kind of just like a fundamental addition to the markets. I think it's a positive. I think it can certainly be used the right way. But TiVo, you make a good point. You got to be really careful with leverage. You got to be careful. If you are not a seasoned trader, a seasoned investor, I do not think leverage should be touched for the vast majority of people, because it can so easily destroy a portfolio in the same way that it can multiply it. So we want to give just a little bit of a forewarning out there. But again, it's just positive adoption, right? We like to see that stuff is getting through the SEC. And because of a lot of this, you know, institutional interest is soaring across the board. And the CME Bitcoin futures just opened, and their open interest set a new all-time high. And so I want to scroll down and show this chart, because it's a really cool one from The Block, who we like to reference a lot over here. But you can just see the uptick that has happened in October, just breaking through these open interest highs. And especially when it comes to, who is this? Yeah, CME over here. You can see that, you know, Binance is not far behind, BitGet, Bybit, etc. But CME futures are skyrocketing. And again, open interest, interest in the crypto markets, it's going up. It's a very positive thing that we like to see. And, you know, TiVo, you actually brought a really cool clip over to me, kind of just going in line with all of this. Really in line with just this idea that interest around the crypto markets is increasing. You had a really cool clip from Paul Tudor Jones that was talking about inflation and Bitcoin and everything else. And this was something that I saw on my Twitter timeline as well, just talking about the kind of bullish state of the market.
Yeah, institutional interest is through the roof. And, you know, we try to bring not too many clips here, and when we bring them, we really think you should watch them. So this is only a 50-second clip. Paul Tudor Jones, first ballot Hall of Famer when it comes to investing and portfolio management. And if I really think that this clip really summarizes the entire interview, but just to set up, we're covering everything from the economy, inflation, and Bitcoin in the markets. So let's tune in and hear what the legendary investor Paul Tudor Jones has to say.
Given all of the things you're saying, are you off buying gold and Bitcoin and hiding
somewhere? I think all roads lead to inflation. We're going to end up,
But does all roads lead to inflation, therefore gold is a good investment? Is Bitcoin a good investment to you?
I'm long gold. I'm long Bitcoin. I think commodities are so ridiculously underowned. So I'm long commodities. I think most young people find their inflation hedges via the NASDAQ. That's also been great. It's probably some combination. I probably have some basket of gold, Bitcoin, commodities, and NASDAQ, something like that. And I would own zero fixed income. If I had my cash, it'd be very short term. The playbook to get out of this, you see it in Japan right now. They have 2% inflation, 30 basis points overnight. They don't want to raise rates. The playbook to get out of this is that you inflate your way out.
Inflate your way out of it. And take the opposite side of the trade against Paul Tudor Jones if you wish. I certainly won't be the one doing it with his Hall of Fame record over his career, you know, accumulating hundreds of millions of dollars for his clients, being, you know, a billionaire himself. It's straight from the horse's mouth. You know, I think that all these people that kind of go around and are kind of talking against Bitcoin and making cases against it, like we just said, you know, for every one of those, you can find two other people that have kind of done the education, put in the work, and have it in their portfolios. And again, a nice rounded investor. He's got gold. He's got the NASDAQ. He's got Bitcoin. But something that we've talked about on the show is just, it's a sad topic, but you don't really see it, especially around the political race. Nobody wants to talk about the debt. And so how are we going to get out of it? We're going to inflate our way out of it. And I've also noticed for those who keep tight to the markets every week, as much as the Federal Reserve has cut rates last month, the actual 10-year and the long end of the curve is actually rising, which isn't necessarily alarming because the economy's in good health, but it seems that the Fed is losing control of the back end of the curve because our debt is so bad that people are starting to call BS and be like, we don't really want to buy that for that cheap. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be more of an upside if you want us to keep buying your debt, United States. So that's why we, you know, are believers in Bitcoin and kind of are followers of it and have done the work and put in the work and the research, just like apparently Mr. Paul Tudor Jones.
Yeah, I love that quote. All roads lead to inflation. I'm long gold. I'm long Bitcoin. It's one to pay attention to. You know, we actually just saw gold hit new all-time highs. And we have seen Bitcoin really pressing up into the all-time highs as well. And I think that it's really only a matter of time before we see Bitcoin explode in the same way that we've seen gold over here, because people are paying attention. They're waking up. And they're seeing the real long potential that this has. And it's not just the average investor. It's, again, as we've said so many times in this episode, it's institutions as well. And one of the big plays that we saw made this week was from Stripe. Stripe acquired the stablecoin platform Bridge for over $1.1 billion. And this is a big deal. Again, Stripe is a massive payment solution, payment processor, when it comes to businesses and other, I guess, medians. But when it comes to this, this is a record-setting amount for the crypto industry. And it talks about it somewhere inside of here. But this marks Stripe's largest acquisition. And it's also a record for the crypto industry, which is a big, big deal. Now, who is Bridge? You know, who are these people? Well, they work with stablecoins and you know, crypto payment support and a lot of stuff like this. So essentially what we're seeing here is Stripe is looking at them saying, hey, we want to get into crypto. If we ever want to be able to support payments for stablecoins, for Bitcoin, for Ethereum, Solana, Polygon, USDC, the list goes on, then we need a company that specializes in this. And so instead of rather creating something in-house, we can go and get one of these successful crypto companies that has already built all the infrastructure that we need. And so now moving forward, it looks like it's going to be a near guarantee that Stripe is going to be adding cryptocurrency support for their platform, which again is gigantic. Stripe is just this international giant when it comes to payment processing and support, especially on the business front. And now they made this record-setting acquisition of over $1 billion. So the big players, the smart players, they want to get in on this. They're not waiting on the sidelines any longer. And even AVAX, you know, another altcoin, is making big strides here because the Avalanche card has been introduced. So this is a Visa card. We've seen several different forms of crypto Visa cards in the past. We've seen ones for Bitcoin and stablecoins. We've seen them from exchanges like Coinbase. I know Crypto.com has done one. There's been a few of them, right? A few kinds of crypto cards out there. And it's becoming a more popular trend. But it's not every day that we see altcoins come out and partner with Visa and these other providers to actually give you a crypto card. So this is, again, just another step in the right direction. More adoption that continues to happen over here. And yeah, it's crazy to see.
Yeah, I think as Fortune 500 companies continue to partner with, you know, crypto companies, it's hard not to be just generally bullish for the space overall, which is what we do this show about every week, right? We try to bring you all these stories to kind of showcase that, you know, whether it's individuals, billionaire investors, or Fortune 500 companies, you know, there's continued interest and growth into this space. And that's why we come here every week and do it.
Yep. You know, it's hard to be bearish about the state of crypto right now. I mean, let's just do a brief highlight of what we've talked about today and say, okay, the ETFs are growing at record rates. They're outperforming the internet. They're outperforming gold. The SEC has approved Bitcoin options for multiple ETF providers. We're seeing institutional interest soaring. The CME open interest soaring. Paul Tudor Jones, giant investor, saying that he's long Bitcoin. Stripe makes a record level acquisition for their company and for the crypto industry with over $1 billion acquisition. More crypto credit cards are coming. There's bigger and more partnerships when it comes to crypto in the TradFi space. And on top of this, you know, prices are soaring. Again, we're seeing a little bit of a pullback across the board here, but the ultimate trend here has seemingly reversed to the upside. And so I'm curious what the bears are thinking now. You know, how do you look at an article like that? How do you look at everything that we've looked at today and said, hey, I don't think it's likely that we can hit new all-time highs. I don't think it's likely that Bitcoin can trend upwards. I just don't know how you can make that argument anymore. In fact, I think if we tried to find some bearish news, I think we would have a hard time. Whereas, you know, maybe if we would have rolled this back several months ago, it would have been a lot easier to find articles like that. You know, go back to the Japanese carry trade, go back to the U.S. government selling Bitcoin, go back to, you know, fill in the blank what the event was, the SEC kind of shooting down the idea of ETFs in the past. There's all these different kinds of FUDs that we probably could have looked at in the past, but in the current day, it just seems like it's non-existent. We would have a much harder time making an episode about all the negative things that are happening because they're just, again, they're not there at the moment. So I'm curious what the bears think about this because I cannot see a world where the crypto industry is not overall net positive. And I really do, not financial advice, but I really do believe that it's just a matter of time before we see new all-time highs.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, so actually a little bit of improv here that wasn't on the sheet. So I remember seeing this floating around, and you're saying, what would the bears say? Well, the bulls like Alex Thorne of Galaxy is saying that the nominal price of Bitcoin versus the real price of Bitcoin, if you adjust it for inflation, actually Bitcoin hasn't even hit an all-time high this year if you do that adjustment. Maybe, and I've seen this on the timeline, is like, hey, gold's at an all-time high, S&P, NASDAQ, all-time highs. You know, the Dow Jones all-time highs, industrials all-time, everything in the market's all-time highs, but Bitcoin isn't. And so maybe some bears are saying, hey, the adoption isn't what you think because Bitcoin's not keeping up with it. So I think that might be one thing that like a true diehard bear might say, but I don't know. The counter argument would be the last 35 minutes of this entire episode that you listen to shows you that the adoption curve and everything's coming down the pipeline. And again, maybe with more regulation and some more political help and, you know, adoption and inflation, like who knows, maybe Bitcoin is actually the next thing to surpass those in market caps down the road, as we've talked about before as well.
Yeah. I think to the people who are saying, you know, compare, you know, all these other assets that are hitting new all-time highs. If they're going to do that, I think we also have to zoom out to the bigger picture and say, okay, well, what's the year-to-date performance? Is Bitcoin, gold, silver? Is it, you know, S&P? What are their year-to-date performances? And then what is Bitcoin's? And the answer here is that Bitcoin is still probably outperforming them. I mean, I think Bitcoin's up, again, roughly speaking off the top of my head here, I think that Bitcoin's up almost 50-60% from the start of this year to where we're at right now. If you look at some of these other crypto projects, it's even more. If you look at 2023, the year-to-date performance, I think, is over 100%. So if we look at, you know, where we are at on an averaged annualized basis or even a year-to-date performance, they're still really, really positive numbers. And we have seen Bitcoin kind of uptrending since its bottom. And the big takeaway is that Bitcoin tends to be more volatile, which is a reason that some people like it and some people don't. You see it have these days and these years where it can go hundreds of percent to the upside, and then it can fall 60, 70% to the downside. And so that is just one of the risks that I think investors have to be willing to accept, is that there's more volatility in both directions. Bitcoin can outperform on the upside, and it can really hurt on the downside inside of some of these bear markets. But the big thing that no one wants to miss out on is when we go back into a parabolic bull season, when prices really start to appreciate, that is what is often remembered. And that's the moment where people look at the markets and they say, I don't want to miss that again. And, you know, we're already recovered pretty high, right? I mean, we recovered from 15,000 to 73, 74,000. But the truth of the matter here is, again, not financial advice, but I think that there's more gas in the tank, and I don't think that we're done yet. So
not bad for an industry that in November 2022 was dead. Sam Bankman-Fried killed us, FTX imploded, and it was over. Psych. not bad for an industry, huh? That was having funerals.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate prank. And you know, we want to leave on a little bit more of a lighthearted note. Depending on how you look at this, I think it's a little bit comical. But Peter Todd, we talked about this, I think, the other week, Tivo, about this HBO series that was talking about who is Satoshi. We're going to unravel it. We're going to find it. Well, they basically said, hey, we think that it's this guy named Peter Todd. And he came out and he was furious. He was like, why are you guys calling me Satoshi? I'm not Satoshi. You guys are putting my life in danger. And he was like one of the people that they think could have been Satoshi, right? There's a couple of them. But he came out and he was like, why in the world would you guys do this? It's clearly not me. You guys are putting my life in danger. People are going to try to come after me if they think that I'm Bitcoin's creator. You know how much money that would actually tie to him? I mean, that would tie just billions and billions of dollars to his name if that's the case. And so he's saying, you guys are putting me at risk. Don't do this to me. And he's pointing the finger saying, you know, kind of renounce this, or why would you do this to me? And so he's upset about this. This is interesting, and honestly, I think I would feel the same way. I think if this giant HBO documentary that came out that could be viewed by thousands, if not millions of people, said that I was Satoshi, I'd be nervous. I'd be looking over my shoulder. I'd be freaking out a little bit. People would be coming up to me thinking I had all sorts of money that I don't have, and I would be a little bit paranoid.
No, 100%. I did you watch it by chance?
I haven't.
I haven't either, and it's kind of for this reason where I knew it was coming out, and I was like, all right, I guess I should watch this because we'll talk about it. And then I just kind of waited, and it came out, and I saw the reaction on the internet. And it was like, if you're putting that much effort into a documentary, it is a cool story. So I get like the storytelling aspect of it, but I totally agree with your point and his you know, being upset with it, because it's like at the end of the, you know, 90-minute documentary of all this evidence, and then, you know, these producers from HBO choose who they want to be Satoshi, yeah, without like definitive evidence, seems, you know, like on the borderline of journalistic integrity, maybe. I know it's for entertainment purposes, but it seems like the stakes are so high. Like, this isn't a game of Clue. You know, we're talking about, you know, billions of dollars in people's lives. And, you know, I don't know. I just know, being in the entertainment industry for a long time, I think that there's certain ways that documentaries were made, and I know that they got a lot of interviews and stuff. So it's kind of like, how are they pitched of being on this show, if that makes sense? Like, did they pitch them as, oh, we're just doing the history of Bitcoin? And they're like, oh, that would be great. And they sign on to do the interviews. And then at the end, it's like, it's not a hit piece per se, but in a way, it's a hit piece of dropping this big, like, you know, this whole documentary has been marketed as who's Satoshi, whereas when they were creating the content around it, they might have been pitching, you know, hey, this is just a history of Bitcoin documentary type of thing. So things that I don't have the answers to, but again, if you don't have definitive evidence as a journalist, you know, we shouldn't be making these claims.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, I've seen so many articles like this, other kinds of documentaries get circled around about who Satoshi is. And the truth of the matter is that no one is ever going to know. I don't think anyone is ever going to know who Satoshi is. It could be a single person. It's more likely a group of people. We don't know where it originated, what country, what continent, you know, or really any of this stuff. And I don't think we're ever going to find out. People have been trying to find this out for as long as Bitcoin has been around, and we haven't come to that answer. So I kind of knew going into this. I've read through so many similar kinds of documentation or different videos that try to discover who Satoshi is. And I was going into this saying they're not going to know for certain. They're going to try to make an educated guess, which everyone else tries to do. But everyone has their own opinion about who this could be. And the who Satoshi is supposed to be has waxed and waned over the years. There was a time and point where everyone's like, oh, Pomp is Satoshi. It has to be Pomp. He just has such an understanding of the technology. At other points, people think it could be Craig Wright or all these other people. Now we're saying, hey, it could be Peter Todd. It could be someone who maybe isn't alive anymore. We don't know. And I think it's going to stay that way. So I wouldn't look into this with too much emphasis. I would go into this with a light heart, find it interesting, learn a little bit more about the history of crypto. But I wouldn't go into watching this with being like, I'm going to figure out who Satoshi is and I can make a play off this, because I just don't think that that's the result of a series and a documentary like this one. So that's my thoughts there.
Yeah, and hopefully, in theory, this just brings more interest to the general public. Maybe some people have heard about Bitcoin and, you know, watched it, and maybe they were intrigued. So, you know, at the end of the day, it is good maybe overall, in the sense that just trying to get more literature, films, and content out there around Bitcoin for people who, you know, maybe have heard of it but don't really know much about it. So hopefully the education aspect in the video maybe intrigue some people, and hopefully the education and entertainment aspect of this show intrigue some people. If you have, hopefully you'll like, subscribe, comment, and you know, this has been a really fun episode, Brendan, in the sense that we had so much to talk about, and things are definitely heating up. Me and you both can feel it. We've been talking inside our teams. The team's excited. Me and you are excited. And there's a lot of stuff going on inside the crypto industry, as we just talked about today. And then obviously in the grand scheme of the macro markets, and it's going to be a sprint to the end of the year here. And I think all these episodes from here on out are going to be exciting and kind of must watch and listen to content if you're in the crypto space.
I agree with you there. You know, we humbly believe that this is the number one spot to stay informed on everything that's happening in the crypto markets. And like TiVo said, if you like the content that we bring you all for free, then check out some of our other videos. In fact, check out some of our groups that you all can get plugged into. You can check us out on Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. That's where all the videos and the charts and the articles that we reference on the screen here, it's all living on there. So if you're an Audible listener or a Spotify or an Apple Podcast, check us out on YouTube. And we also got some really cool communities that everyone can get plugged into at CryptNation as well. So check us out. We hope all of you enjoyed this week's episode. It was a little bit on the longer side, just so much information to digest. But rest assured, we're going to be back at the same time, same place next week.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.